Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast. Well, now that's the way I like to open a season. Yay.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns victorious over the Cincinnati Bengals by a score 24-3. A dominant defensive performance, which is, I think, what we need to see in this season because, again, with it all resting on Deshaun Watson's shoulders, you got to wonder if maybe that job would be too big for him. But if you're going to get that kind of help from the defense. And hey, my hat's off to Grant Delpit, because all that potential that everybody sees that we weren't seeing on the field, turns out that Joe Woods was probably the problem there. Okay.
Because
Grant Delpit was everywhere. He was everywhere. He played safety. He played corner. He played linebacker. And he led the team in tackles. And he was just an enforcer will performance guy for the defense.
It was such a pleasure to watch that.
Joe Burrow goes down on a quarterback pressure hit just as he releases the ball on the first play from scrimmage. He gets to meet Za'Darius Smith up close and personal. Oh, it was great. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about this Browns win. So let me ask you guys now. Here we are. You're watching the Browns. Everybody had to be trepidatious. You're a fucking Browns fan, okay? It's like, oh, the team looks good on paper. How many years now have we been, the team looks good on paper? We got one of the best offensive lines of football. We could have one of the better defenses. And then they go out there and it's like, what the fuck? Why can't they tackle? What the fuck? And so how did you feel watching that game? I mean, it was a slow starter. Okay. Three and outs by both teams. No real score until the second quarter.
Nope.
So, I mean, you had to be biting your fucking nails at first. It's like, oh, goddamn, somebody's going to break out. I hope it's us. Right?
Yeah, I just chalked it up to the inclement weather and that misty rain. And, you know, I figured somebody would get something going soon. But I was pleasantly surprised. They need work, but all in all, surprised and very pleasantly surprised.
Well, no gain comes without a loss. And the Browns lost Jack Conklin for the season.
That sucked. That dude rolled right up on him, man.
Early, the word was the Browns were going to start DeJuan Jones in his place. But they have evidently signed somebody and are planning on not starting DeJuan as a rookie. They'll let him fill in, but, well, that's a big dude anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Jeff, how did you feel about that doggone Browns game?
I like the way the defense looked. The defense looked really good.
Yeah.
I am a little shaky on the offense. Number one, Chubb looked real good. Ford looked all right at times. He looked all right in some and bad in others. He wasn't as resourceful in his losses, you know?
Yeah.
So, that'll be interesting where that goes. I know they have the other back. What's his name?
Kelly? What's his name? What's his name?
Was it Kelly?
What's his name?
Yeah.
What's his name? It doesn't matter. Listen, you may see him instead of Ford. I doubt it. Okay, Kevin Stefanski's evidently got a plan with the running game, and his method apparently to preserve Chubb and have him available for the long term is not to run him any more than 18 times a game, right?
Well, my thing is, in that game, I don't necessarily argue with him on the way around.
I don't argue with him except that I see Chubb on the sideline looking like I should be in this fucking game.
He should. They took him out way too soon and put Kelly in.
I don't know about way too soon. The Browns went up their last scoring drive. Chubb ran the ball that puts you in position to get the touchdown. Yeah, okay.
That's not what
I mean, after that, it was all Ford. A good 10 carries of Ford's 15 carries came on the last two drives, which were not point producing and just went to running the clock out. Okay.
That's my thing. The two or three runs that get you in place to score. I'm like this. You're that close. Let him run the ball and let him get the touchdown. He'll get it.
Okay. Well, but they didn't. They passed the ball and got the touchdown. I don't object with that. The objection I have is that I feel like Chubb wants to be in the game. I don't, as a coach, I can totally understand what Stefanski is doing. But if your running back is frustrated, then you got to come to a compromise.
Right.
I liked the fact that we got the touchdown with the pass, but with the inclement weather and everything, I thought they would have run more.
Well, what I was trying to get at is like our third string back is Perry Strong. My real assessment I was trying to get to in this is that I don't argue too much about what he did with Chubb in this particular game, only because we got it to a point to where we were winning first game of the year. It's not really a need to, like, I get the preserving. Okay. Now, could you have easily gave him 20 carries this game? Yes.
Easily.
I don't know why you wouldn't. It's almost like he's trying to skew the percentage of 20.
It is, literally like he's been listening to us and he's just being hard headed. But I'm not going to run him 20 times. I don't give a fuck what you guys say.
But I do not argue with him with the way he ran in that game. The only thing I do argue with is the fact that had it been a closer game, okay, we were splitting the carries and one back was really not doing much and one was doing a lot. So you had a big, big disparity. Usually sometimes you have a small disparity. Look, one back's getting 4.8 and one's getting, you know, 4. That's not a reason not to run that other back. But there was a big enough disparity in the performance between the two different backs.
Right.
But and the volume of carries that it
the real aw shit on Jerome Ford's list is the one exception I'll take with Kevin Stefanski about what he did with the running game, and that is it's clearly in the second quarter, early second quarter, was late first quarter. I can't remember exactly. Jerome Ford had no business touching that ball on that play. That should have been Chubb. Chubb would have busted through that hole and held on to the ball. Jerome Ford busts through the hole, gets fucking happy and shit, and the ball slips out. Okay.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes I almost feel like Kevin Stefanski, you know, I said this last year, he hates Nick Chubb. He's trying to feature Ford so he'll identify Chubb's replacement. I hope I'm wrong on that. I don't want to be right on that.
Because that's real petty. That's some petty ass shit.
Well, not only that, he's got to come up with somebody better than fucking Jerome Ford, okay?
Hell, yeah.
I'm just saying. Hey, Elijah Moore ran the ball. He had 9.5 yards a carry, dude, on two carries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Elijah Moore is evidently he's our Debo Samuel.
Hey, we got a little scare with Amari Cooper there for a minute.
But that's the slippery field. So again, I understand it's the hazard of the game. It's going to rain. It'll be slippery. But one of the reasons that did limit the running game and what they wanted to do with it, and you didn't see a lot of sweep around runs. They were all pretty much between the tackle type things. That's because you don't want to give guys extra reason to slip, to fall, to twist and turn. And if you want to know how things can happen weirdly, man, I tell you what, going into last night's game, the New York Jets fans were the happiest people in the fucking world. He's running out on the field with the flag and everything, and this is just great. And four plays in, he didn't even get to complete a pass for the Jets. He's out. Achilles. Okay? Aaron Rodgers gone for the season, baby. It's back to Zach Wilson again. Okay.
And Zach Wilson didn't do too bad.
Zach Wilson didn't do too bad, but you ain't going to the Super Bowl with him. And here's the thing. That defense all year is going to give Jet fans, man, think of what could have been.
Right, think of what could have been. They're good.
Because they might be, and I'll tell you this, if the Browns defense is what I think they are, I got to see them play a few games before I'm anointing them. But if they're what I think they are, the Jets might be one of the only other teams, them and the Cowboys, that have a defense that's on a par with ours.
Right.
Because what I saw in terms of coverage to support that defensive line was what amazed me.
You know what is beautiful? You get that push up the middle and you get to the quarterback and you can play man way more. That's so beautiful.
Well, no, you don't get that push up the middle unless you're playing man effectively. Joey Burrow has anybody to throw to anywhere that even looks like they're kind of open, and we don't get all those pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we had, and you saw the throws that were defended and how our backs, while they couldn't make the pick, they foiled the catch.
Yep.
And they did so without getting called for interference.
Which is difficult to do this day and age.
Especially for the Chargers, it appears. Okay, because good God, were they... I mean, it just gave the game away on interference calls.
Man.
But Tua and Tyreek Hill, I mean, why anybody's trying to cover Tyreek Hill with single coverage is beyond me. You better have some over-the-top safety support or something going on.
He had 110 quarterback rating.
Who, Tua?
Something crazy number.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, if you complete 454 yards and stuff, I mean, that's going to happen. What I find interesting is that Deshaun Watson, everybody wants to talk about how well he did, but he was a 67.3 quarterback rating, okay? Okay, so don't talk to me about Deshaun Watson yet. I'm not ready to have that discussion. I'm not ready to write him off, but he's certainly not Deshaun Watson in the form we paid for. Not yet, okay? And I'll give him the weather. We'll give him a bad weather game and say, okay, that's not indicative. And so let's one, hope we got good weather in Pittsburgh. Okay. And then two, hope that we take advantage.
Do they have grass in Pittsburgh or a turf?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to say. I think it's a turf field though, but I might be wrong. I know it used to be turf. Anyway, Terry Pluto wrote A Tale of Two Teams, and this is a tale that benefits the Browns. So this is Terry's thinking, or Terry's writing. These are his notes. One team wanted to be there. One team didn't. That's what I was thinking in the middle of the second quarter. This isn't to take anything away from the Browns, just the opposite. You'll hear a lot about how the Browns were the tougher team physically, and that's true. But they also won the mental game. Two, one team, Cleveland, didn't care that it was the opener, one of 17 games. To the Browns, this was a rival game, a division game, and yes, like a playoff game. One team, Cleveland, didn't care about the weather, rainy, somewhat windy, rather yucky. The other team, Cincinnati, at times appeared as they just wanted to get the game done and get dry. Four, one team wanted to immediately deliver a message. Cincinnati's Joe Burrow dropped back to throw. Cleveland's Za'Darius Smith hit him from behind as the quarterback released from what became a fluttering pass. Five, one team didn't seem to notice it was raining. They came out throwing. The Bengals passed on their first four plays. They did record a first down. They ran it once, then threw again on third down, or at least tried to throw. Cleveland's Ogbo Okorowunkwo broke. Through the, am I saying that right? Okoronkwo broke through the line and sacked Burrow. Time to punt. Nick Chubb rushed for 106 yards and 18 carries. He caught four passes for 21 yards. It was great. Kevin Stefanski, that first play you hit the quarterback. I know you don't sack him, But that set the tone early. And it did. I really thought so.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of the day, Burrow was worried about Cleveland's pass rush. The Bengals also didn't figure out the ball was slick, a word Stefanski used several times. In the first quarter, the Bengals threw 8 passes and ran it 3 times. Burrow was sacked once, 9 passing calls to 3 runs. Stefanski made Nick Chubb the focus of his early play calling. In the first quarter, Chubb ran it 5 times and caught 3 short passes. The Browns tried a couple of deep throws, but Stefanski was adapting to the conditions. The players were embracing the rain as they saw how it negatively impacted Cincinnati. The Browns ran the ball 40 times in this game compared to throwing 29 passes. The Bengals ran it only 20 times. Burrow said, when it's raining like that, it's something you have to handle. We didn't handle it today. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Bengals coach Zach Taylor said they did a better job handling it, the weather, than we did. I have to give them credit for that. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
This was more than a great defensive performance from the Browns. It was historic in terms of defending Burrow. Cincinnati star quarterback threw for a career low. Career low. This is the lowest of any game he's ever played in the NFL. 82 yards. His previous low was 148. He was 2 of 15 on third down. The Bengals never reached the red zone. Burrow was sacked twice, which is not extreme, but he was hit 10 times after he threw. That's a lot. Myles Garrett and Smith each had 4 quarterback hits. Burrow said it was more than the Cleveland pass rush. They have really good corners, defensive backs. Denzel Ward and Martin Emerson are 2 of the better corners in the NFL. Greg Newsome is a great nickelback, too. They have a great secondary. The Browns played a lot of one-on-one coverage. At some point, they will get beat on long throws. But under this system, defenders should know their assignments, who to cover. It should cut down on those blown coverages from the past. Dustin Hopkins, how about him, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Dustin Hopkins, I like him.
Dude, we got us a field goal kicker.
Oh, okay. Listen, guys. I know it's not common for us to win on opening day, and certainly not common for us to win convincingly on opening day. But I don't think that any Browns fan should be getting too excited just yet. Let this play out, dude. The last thing you want to do is talk about how good we are and next week shit the bed on national TV. And you know it could happen.
Yeah, anything could happen. But this is, you know, you could definitely tell where they need work, where they need a tweak, all that stuff. But I like what they're doing on defense and how they're moving miles around and how they're covering. Well, no,
I understand that, but I don't think you can definitely tell where they need to tweak. I think the rain conditions being what they were, how they limited the Bengals and the Browns both, they limited also what you were seeing defensively. Okay, the defense might be better than what you saw. They might not be as good as what you saw. It's very hard to tell given the field conditions that the Browns played in on Sunday, that what that means and how that translates to a fast football autumn field. Okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely be able to know more after the Pittsburgh game and possibly
we might. It depends. What if the Pittsburgh Steelers truly suck this year?
That would be fucking great, wouldn't it?
That would be fucking great, but it wouldn't tell you anything about your team.
No.
It wouldn't tell you anything about your team. About
Dallas beating the Giants.
And Dallas beat the Giants. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah, but Giants ain't shit.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'm not taking a Brian DeBole coach team, given what... Remember now... Okay, Coach Kevin Stefanski didn't come out looking like an angel after he won Coach of the Year. The next year, they were shit. Okay? Well, Brian DeBole won Coach of the Year last year. All right? It happened. And Dallas truly has one of the better defenses in the league. I mean, I wasn't shocked. I think I was shocked that the Giants didn't score at all.
Yeah.
But Cowboys beating the Giants, that doesn't shock me. It's got to be really bad to be a New Yorker this week because the Giants get zipped, and then, you know, the Jets won the game but lost the Jets won the game but lost the season.
Let them play San Francisco, then I'll believe in Dallas. But I still think they're doing great things there.
Well, San Francisco's a mirage too, because I honestly, they got Christian McCaffrey, and with Christian McCaffrey on your offense, an amazing play is coming at some point in the day. Okay, Brock Purdy is certainly deserving of having been drafted higher than Mr. Irrelevant. Okay. But let's be fair. They played the Steelers, and I don't think the Steelers are that good this year, guys. And Cameron Hayward, by the way, ain't going to be playing against us. So they're going to be without a key defensive piece.
Wow.
I mean, with the Steelers.
And that's going to be the reason that they tell us, oh, you beat us because we didn't have Cameron Hayward.
Well, but if that's the reason, then that wasn't going to get him anywhere anyway. What you saying, Jeff?
I was going to say, well, with the Steelers anyway, I'm a firm believer in right now that we don't get too much in bragging about anything as far as until we beat them. I think the Steelers are a good gauge for us, not because I think the Steelers are good, but for the Browns to eliminate. You know, they're going in. They should win the game. Yeah. They just beat a better team in technicality. Bengals, as far as we know right now, are the better team out of the two. Okay. Steelers just got stomped. They're going to be ready to try to win. We have a history of not getting the job done with it. They need to come in, show that change culture, get the job done. It doesn't matter how good the Steelers are in this aspect. We got to come go beat them.
Strictly out of Tomlinson being the coach, he is. You beat that team in their own stadium. I think that really says something, even if they do suck. Because
Tomlin has a son.
Oh, I thought it was. It's not.
No, it's Tomlin. 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 That's all.
Tomlin has a son.
Oh, that's good. Just say, you said Tomlin's son. I'd say, oh, really? Was he there?
Just fucking with you. But
honest to goodness, I think that the Browns done us proud on Sunday, and I will not talk bad about them, but I will not anoint them off of this one game.
Oh, no, can't do it. It's hard not to get excited though. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm trying not to get too excited. It's like,
You guys that the Browns will not start DeJuan Jones after signing Jack Conklin replacement. Let's look into it. Sorry, Browns fans. It's not going to be DeJuan Jones show on the offensive line, at least not yet. With Jack Conklin out for the season, Cleveland opted to sign a veteran free agent rather than relying on the rookie fourth round pick to step up as a starter. Veteran offensive tackle Tyle Nesicki is signing with the Cleveland Browns per his agent. Browns lost offensive tackle Bloom. But I want to say that DeJuan Jones, I thought, performed admirably being a rookie. And geez, he is just massive. 6'8", 370 something pounds. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked earlier, you're like, his number didn't get called, so that means he's probably doing something good out there. So
yeah.
And Watson stayed relatively protected. So
yeah.
Here's a one on this is Cleveland.com. So maybe I can't read the article. Oh, looks like I can. Oh, look at them. This is I'm not familiar with this. This writer, Ashley Bastock. She says Brown's defense gave a first glimpse at its identity, and it's a good one. We heard a lot of talk about the Browns defense now headed by coordinator Jim Schwartz and how it would be different all throughout the spring and summer months. Just 2 minutes into the Browns week one 24-3 win over the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday afternoon, they showed us. That's when Myles Garrett lined up over center, standing like a linebacker, but then Garrett started inching closer swaying back and forth, mimicking a crossover dribble in basketball. Four imaginary dribbles, and he was off. Joe Burrow didn't have much time or much of a choice. Garrett closed in, and Burrow tried to take off, but the play ended with a sack for Ogbo Okoronkwo, who stuck with the play after sneaking in from the left edge.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, it
was. I sent you a short video. Did you get it?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It was that was a amazing little piece of video, and I want Miles to have fun. Miles having fun equals Miles in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. And
right.
And listen, with the addition of Za'Darius Smith, Okoronkwo, and the other guy in the middle. Oh my God, his name is escaping me. But him. I mean, and the ability to move these players around now because you got fresh linemen plug in. This is finishing the play with style points. That's the Schwartz way. That's the Schwartz way, they're saying.
Basically. That's the Schwartz way.
Yeah. Passion, effort, and swag. Martin Emerson Jr. said on Monday when asked to describe the defense. Three words. I can break it down. Passion, effort, and swag. That's the idea. Have fun, play fast, play physical, play together. Schwartz has a hard-nosed and old-school reputation, but with a twist of attitude. Look no further than him telling the unit he expects them to lead the league in badassery. You hear me? Lead the league in badassery.
Badassery.
I mean, now, that sounds all great, but as long as it puts W's on the board, I'm whatever.
Yeah, 2 days before the game, he spoke at length about the idea of the team finding its identity and how it's a long process. Good teams find out who they are over the course of the season, and what they do is they tend to funnel into a personality as the season goes on, Schwartz said. What that personality is going to be right now, I don't know. I have an idea, but I don't know for sure. My job as a play caller, my job as a coordinator is to very quickly find out what our guys are good at and try to put them in those positions. And that's where I think teams improve over the course of the season. They find their personality. They find what they're good at. Maybe it's not what I'm expecting. So, I like Jim Schwartz's attitude. You know, I'll say this. When he was coach of the Lions, I always liked him. I never could figure out why he couldn't win with Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
It's harder to believe how he couldn't win with Matt Stafford because Matt Stafford did go somewhere else. Those teams are always riddled with problems. Mm-hmm. Matt Stafford didn't play with a whole team. In Detroit, I mean, he had Megatron. They struggled to have running games. The Browns are in a really good situation where it looks like they're gelling together. I would say, like, we started the podcast and started the problem areas. I started off with the run game because and it's not anything to do with Chubb. Chubb is still elite. But, you know, if they're going to continue to do the half and carries, which they should, it shouldn't go to like this primary of Chubb without the secondary. It may eventually have to be addressed with the production. I don't know. The Bengals aren't the best run stopping team. You know what I mean? 2.8 yards a carry is not really relief. You at least need to be in like 3.5 area or something for it to actually be real relief for our primary back. Watson won. If we're saying he played well, he played sustainable.
Mm,
and looked really good in some aspects. He still only posted a 67.3 quarterback rating. He only threw 55%. Okay.
Yeah.
Bad weather.
That's not sustainable. I mean, it's bad weather, but those kind of statistics will not a Super Bowl appearance make.
No, right. Some of those were drop balls too. They wasn't this all wide.
I mean, that's true. But last year, he threw 58.2% in the six games he played. Now he's coming back. All this is understood. Like I said, this is a bad weather game. This is really hard to get any gauge from. Okay. But he stayed out of the league how many years? His last year with Houston, which is the year everybody put him into the elite category, he was 25 through 70.2% that year for 4,823 yards. Okay. Mm-hmm. 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Okay. Since his rookie season, he's posted completion percentages of 61.8, 68.3, 67.3, 70.2. Okay. So what that's telling you is if we're getting Watson and he's actually back to form, okay, he's going to complete a lot of passes. He completes the majority of his passes. Okay?
Right. Which I still, again, and I'm giving him the allowance for the weather, but I didn't see that in what I saw him throwing.
Right
now, there were some good throws. There was the one throw to DPJ that was over the outstretched hands of a defender. It was a well placed throw, but I'll tell you this: given Deshaun's posture when he let go of that ball, I couldn't tell you where that was a lucky throw or an accurate throw.
So I mean, he was behind on some, like the one ball he tried to air out. Mm-hmm. He put too much. It was too high, hung too long. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely, what I'm saying is you can definitely see where there's areas where he's still not all the way back. Okay.
He can make up for a lot of it with his legs too.
With his legs.
Right? Yeah. I'm kind of concerned this is kind of where I'm at. And this article, Cleveland.com kind of says it. During Sunday's 24-3 win over Cincinnati, the Browns introduced a new question. What if Watson only needs to be good enough?
Okay, but here's the thing on that.
Go watch Tua play and understand that he's in the AFC and that eventually you're going to come up against a Tua or an Allen. And listen, Josh Allen didn't do himself any favors, okay, against the Jets, okay?
What was that?
Well, even in all of the what you just said right there, when's the last time we saw a quarterback get to the Super Bowl and win doing just enough? Was that Dilfer? I mean, yeah, Trent Dilfer,
and he had one of with the Baltimore Ravens, and he had
one of the most elite defenses ever.
You know, a lot of people don't want to say it, but I hold those Ravens, the 2000 Ravens, at the same level of respect that I do the 85 Bears in terms of defense.
Yeah, you'd have to. They won without even really having the reliance. What they had on the other side of the ball, and Dilfer did very good for them, is made sure he didn't make it harder on them. Okay. They didn't have an offense that could compete if the defense just let the other team go. They didn't have that. You know, but they had an offense that allowed them to control the game. And Dilfer did a good job of doing that. And that's why they won. Watson could do that, but then you're putting a heavy reliance on our defense being elite. You got to have the elite defense to do that. So, yeah, Watson just good enough. Yeah, but to do that, the defense has to be elite, not good. We're expecting them to be good. Where it's a whole nother category to be talking about. We're going to have an elite defense. There's not too many times in NFL history that an elite defense has carried a team to the Super Bowl and won. They carry them to the Super Bowl all the time. So we've seen plenty of defenses carry teams to Super Bowls. That's not who usually wins it, though. It's the complete team that wins it.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. At some point, quarterback play kind of matters. Anyway, you guys are aware that Stephen A. Smith is a Steelers fan, right? Hello?
Say again?
Yes.
You guys are aware that Stephen A. Smith is a Steelers fan, right?
I actually didn't know that, but okay.
Oh, yeah, he's a lifelong Steelers fan. Anyway, but here were his comments after watching the Steelers. They looked soft. They got punked. Defensively, the Steelers got 3 sacks, and they were all by TJ Watt. I'm looking at the Steelers right now because we knew the Niners were the superior team, but this was more about the Steelers. I will tell you this. When it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I am very depressed because I've been a lifelong diehard Steelers fan. This is the first time that I've ever contemplated them finishing last in the AFC North.
Wow.
I'm just going to say this. I'm a Browns fan, but they have to do it first. I will not talk mess. To me, this is the Steeler team is in no worse position than they were last year. Okay. And they somehow ended up with a winning record. We got to go beat them.
Hey,
all the articles about how bad they are. The
unluckiest team in the league this year. I think that has to go to the Jets, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Good God. Well, look, let's look at the statistics from the game. Okay. Real quickly. And then we can talk about them Steelers again, okay? The game was played on Sunday, the 10th of September, 2023. Kickoff was at 1:02. It was cloudy. Open stadium on natural grass, 68 degrees, and it was wet. We won't go through the lineups and the referees and all that stuff. I will tell you this, the Browns had Nick Chubb with 18 carries for 106 yards, 5.9 a carry, a long of 17. Deshaun Watson, 5 carries, 45 yards, 9 yards a carry, a long of 13, and a touchdown. Jerome Ford, 15 for 36 yards, 2.4 a carry, a long of 17. And Elijah Moore, 2 for 19, 9.5 a carry, a long of 19. So, basically, he run once, he got no yards. On another time he ran, he got 19. Okay. But 40 carries for 206 yards, a team average of 5.2 yards per carry, and a touchdown. Deshaun Watson, 16 for 29, 154 yards, a touchdown, long of 33, a pick. Oh, what a terrible pick it was. And the quarterback rating is 67.3. Not to be outdone by Joey Burrow, who only got a 52.2 rating because he was 14. Listen, Deshaun Watson only had 2 more completions than Joey Burrow. Okay. Let's just be fair about what we're talking about here.
But I look at the aspect of it was a bad weather game and Joey Burrow did bad too. Watson did good enough to win. So, I mean,
yeah,
you can take pluses, like you can still take a plus from Watson this and go, well, how much was it the weather? We won't know till next game.
No, okay? Yeah. And if it rains in Pittsburgh, we won't know then. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's just the truth. And this time of year, you know, it's a flip of a coin whether you're going to play a rain game or it's going to be good weather.
I'm one of those supporters of way back when Tebow was winning games. Yeah. If you beat the other quarterback and winning, okay, then at some point, you know, somebody's got to shut up the fact that you're just winning. You know what I mean? So he won the game. I'm not complaining with a win. I'm just looking at his history of statistics, okay? And the fact that his rookie year, he played 3 games.
I just put it to you like this. I just want to put it to you like this. Let's just say this season goes on, the Browns have success, and they make the playoffs. Maybe not the Super Bowl, but they get to the playoffs. And they do it on the strength of an awesome fucking defense, but they have an average Deshaun Watson. Okay, this team is screwed for the long term because an average Deshaun Watson is not what the fuck they paid for.
No, that's true. What I'm saying is, and the point I was trying to get at with Watson himself and what I'm seeing, okay, and this is from a statistic standpoint. His rookie year, he played 6 games, right? He threw 61.8%. 16,999 yards, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Last year, he played 6 games. He threw and got 58.2%, 1,102 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Okay. So drastic difference, right? Now, one, he was relatively in shape. One, he's coming back and getting himself in shape. So that's understand. You know what I mean? He had a bad weather game through 55.2%. For all we know, that could blow up to him throwing 65% this year. And we're like, no, Watson's good. Okay. We won't know till the next game. I'm just purely observing and I'm going off of, okay, this is what he did last year. This is a comparison to a year where he also had six games, which was his rookie year. And his first game, he's looking, I'm still seeing he underthrew some passes. He had some passes that were nice. Okay. His attention to getting out the pocket was good. Okay. Whereas last year he had times where felt like he didn't exactly have that awareness, right? His awareness on that was pretty good this past game. So it's not like you don't see any improvement, right?
But there's some. It's just not the increment you need. And let's look at the stats that matter.
I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, okay, though.
It better goddamn well happen overnight or the season. Okay, listen.
You think he's going to be good all of a sudden?
If he's not, then you're going to be behind the eight ball. The Browns have to come out of these first four games at least 3-1 to have a fucking chance.
I think he's going to be definitely
adequate. You're not listening. The Browns have to come out of these first four games at least 3-1s to have a chance. Anything short of a postseason for the Browns this year is failure, abject failure. They spent $230 million guaranteed on this dude. Yes, he needs to get it together and quickly.
Well, I'm just saying, but it still takes, I mean, realistically,
it still doesn't. He's had a complete offseason and the offense is fucking designed around him now. No, it doesn't. And if it does, then it's a waste of $230 million.
But you're the one to take a quote from you, or not a quote, but your mindset about him. He's been out of how long and hasn't had the reps.
Okay.
It still takes time to get rhythm.
Dude, if Deshaun Watson takes any amount of time to get it together, the Browns season is shot and it's an abject failure. The spending of $230 million guaranteed.
He's going to be just fine.
Okay. He's going to be just fine, and it's going to take time. Are two different guys you're talking about? Now, which one of them is Deshaun Watson? No. Listen,
my point. You're missing my point.
No, totally. I'm not. You're saying it's going to take time, and he's going to be fine. Those are two different guys you're talking about. Which one is Deshaun Watson?
I'm saying it's not going to happen instantaneously. He's going to be very good.
Better. If you got to get to week six before he
finishes,
if you got to get to week six before he's good, your season's gone.
I'm not going to say anything because you don't ever let me finish.
Okay. If you're going to sit up there and complain about how you got into a conversation where you're bringing up a point that literally negates itself.
I never make the point the way I want.
Yes, you did. You said it's going to take time. And now you're saying it's not going to take time. I don't know. Which one are you saying?
I got nothing else to say because you're not listening.
Okay, good. That's good. Let's move on. Okay.
Move on.
That's right. We're going to move on to the stats that count.
I did want to say one more thing about it.
All right.
Okay. I get the aspect. I get on one point where you're saying, he's not going to get it all in a day. Okay. It's not going to come back instantly. Okay.
It's realistic to think that. It's not unrealistic not to.
It's not unrealistic not to. But here's the point, though. This is the same problem the Jets have right now. Aaron Rodgers just went down. They spent a bunch of money and they traded a first rounder. Okay. Comes out a loss. If we spend the money that we've just spent, who's getting paid more than what quarterback's getting paid more than Watson in the league?
Burrow, like Joey Burrow,
Joey Burrow, like that's it. I'm like, okay, you can't
he only has 219 guaranteed.
You can't have that tomorrow. If I'm an NBA GM, right, and Shaq's coming back, right. And I send Shaq to the biggest contract in the league, and they're like, look, he's going to get in shape. We get him back, and then, last half of the last season, he's like, okay, he looked all right. He's getting back in there, but next season, and he opens the season out, and you're like, hey, man, just still don't. I mean, he did all right, but, he still just don't look like Shaq. I mean, all right can be good, too. You can be like, yeah, he's looking all right. But you're paying him to You're paying him like he's the best.
Who was the guy that was in Seattle and came to us? Come on. The Rain Man. You know who.
Oh, Sean Kemp?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So remember when we signed Sean Kemp and we're all like, oh, fuck yeah, we got Sean Kemp. The Cavs are going to be the bomb. And then you see that first preseason game and Sean Kemp takes the floor looking like the Pillsbury fucking doughboy. And you're like, oh, we're fucked. We are fucked.
It's not that I'm not acknowledging that Watson is progressing, but does Watson get back to the stats that made him elite? The stats that you're paying for right now, okay, are none of his other seasons. It's the season where he threw 4,000 yards, 70%, blah, 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 blah.
Not only that, you got Deshaun Watson himself getting in front of a microphone before week one saying, I don't want to be the 2020 Deshaun Watson. I want to be the 2023 Deshaun Watson, which is better than the 2020 Deshaun Watson. Now, he's saying that out of his mouth, but he's not showing me it with his body.
All I was trying to say is that to expect it to happen instantaneously is unrealistic,
It's not instantaneous. By golly, he played six games last year. He's had the full offseason, had the offense redesigned around him. He better damn well deliver, or he has basically cost this franchise its window. Listen, the window the Browns have now, which is possibly a 2 to 3 year.
Are you really concerned about him doing well, though? Are you really concerned about him doing well? I'm not at all.
Why are you not at all? He just posted a 67 quarterback rating, and the only thing that makes that look good is that the opposing quarterback posted a 52.
Dude, we getting ready to see some shit now. I'm telling you, man.
I won't disagree with anybody saying that they think Watson's going to go off. All I am saying, and this is the same thing that I'm saying about the Ford thing, okay? What I'm saying is stats right now, okay? From this game, stats right now. And I get the pundits are like, okay, they're ranking Browns 3 because they like what they see in Watson. It was a bad weather game. Okay. Yeah. There's plenty of bad weather games that happen every year, and your elite quarterbacks have a type of game that Watson had. I get you. Okay. But what I'm saying is it's one thing to take that bad weather game and see that stuff, and then we still haven't seen an elite game from Watson in a Browns uniform. Not one.
Not yet.
We've seen a good game. We have not seen an elite game yet. He has not been 2020 Watson.
I'll tell you this. Right now, we've seen in the Deshaun Watson era, we've seen better play out of Jacoby Brissett than Deshaun Watson. Okay. And by the way, that same Jacoby Brissett who went to the fucking Commanders and couldn't make the starting squad, lost out to Howell, okay, because he wasn't good enough, but he's better than Deshaun Watson right now based on what a Browns fan knows, okay? I can tell you that, okay? And until Deshaun Watson shows me a quarterback that's worth $230 million guaranteed, he's a liability for this team, and he needs to deliver. Deshaun Watson you know how you said, Jeffrey, that we shouldn't talk no shit until we take care of the Steelers, until we handle business, right?
Right.
Deshaun Watson ought to shut the fuck up until he delivers.
Oh, yeah, he does need to shut the fuck up. I just feel like even if he throws for 400 yards, everybody's still going to say, yeah, but that was just once. He does it twice, but that was only two games.
What I'm looking for is to see the first spark. I saw initially when he first came back, I was one of the first people to say, I saw a spark. He threw a pass with some zip that looked like an elite pass. So I'm acknowledging the sparks. What I can even say to the fact that, yes, we saw some better play out of Brissett last year opposed to Watson, but Watson gave the threat of a run from a quarterback. Okay. Yeah. Which opens up a lot more when a defense has to sit there and acknowledge that threat. Okay. They still can't do things to you. Even if the quarterback play, it's the same thing with like Lamar Jackson. Why you can argue all day. Well, there's border quarterback play coming from guys. Why you give them all that money? It's because of the threat of the run. There's things that you don't do to Baltimore. Okay. Because of that threat. Okay. Hey, you don't have that threat from the quarterback.
Speaking of that, the threat of the run in Baltimore. You saw J.K. Dobbins is down. He's out.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Well, that's the, boy, we're getting gifts from heaven, boy. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? What do you guys think about the idea that I looked at the game and him running, and I loved it, getting out of the pocket the way he's managing there. But I feel like you gotta learn how to slide more, buddy.
Well, that's because he's relying on it right now.
Yeah,
that's because he got even the first conversion they got, the first third down conversion. It was because he ran. Okay, missed that pass on the play before. Offense was looking shaky. He ran. He got that first down. Oh, and that was good too. He got it, but he ran it like a running back. Okay, and why did he run it like a running back? Because you can tell. Then this is one good part of it. Okay, you can tell Watson is out there and determined. Okay, because he was determined to get the first down and move the offense. Okay, that was a determined run. So I'm not faulting that at all. But he could get injured that way too.
Bucky Barnes,
I mean, he's a stout individual at least. Okay, so yeah.
Deshaun Watson now, and I just have to say this, even when he was with the Texans, when it comes to running, is a little reckless on the end of the run. He's not a slider, okay?
Yeah.
He's never been. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you would like to see that, but if you're expecting to get that out of him, you're not, okay? It's not his personality. I need to see, okay.
Gotta get
there were a couple throws. There were a couple throws in the game where I felt like, wow, man, Deshaun might be onto something. And then I watched the late game. I watched the Chargers and the Dolphins, and I saw two guys throwing the fucking ball. Okay. And Deshaun Watson's not doing that yet, guys. And that's what he needs to do.
Yep.
I mean,
right now, the quarterbacking I've seen from Deshaun Watson, if you're on the field and you're playing the Miami Dolphins coached by, you know, Mike McDonald, you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance.
Boy. Well.
Okay, that's it. Again, bad weather game. Let's watch them in Pittsburgh on Monday night. If the defense can pitch the kind of game that they pitched against the Bengals, The Steelers are going to have their hands full, and without Cameron Hayward on the line for the Steelers, we ought to be able to, you know, get some push on the line. Nick Chubb got some play action going. Let's see Deshaun Watson complete some passes.
Does not having Cameron Hayward on the line take away from the idea of what's his name, TJ Watt, coming, getting his?
Yeah, because Cameron Hayward frees a lot of coverage up. You can double Watt now.
Ah.
Yeah, you can double team Watt's ass now.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that.
Man, Watt's going to get his. Listen, there are players in this league that are going to get theirs at their position. And TJ Watt is one of those guys.
Well, the other thing is when TJ Watt comes after the quarterback, remember, he's most of the time when he's coming, it is at reckless abandon, it's a design blitz. And he's good at blitzing. He's one of the most elite in the league, which means he's going to get sacks. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not the same as Garrett. When Garrett's coming to you, it's an every down thing. Okay. It's a play. He's gotta beat his guy. Sometimes there ain't a guy for TJ to beat because he's done exactly what he's supposed to. Okay. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think TJ's better than Miles?
If
you were to talk about who is the more skilled defensive player, I would still say it's Miles Garrett. TJ Watt is very good at what he does and how they use him. Okay. He's very elite at what he does. And that's all he needs to be.
But you don't plug TJ Watt into just any team and he's as successful.
No.
Miles Garrett, you can put on any defensive line and he's going to be successful.
Exactly. Right. When you say this to a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, they're like, what? Like, I'm not even going to mention any but names.
We're not worried about that. Pittsburgh Steelers fans speak for themselves.
I mean, it's the same thing if I was comparing TJ Watt.
They're Pittsburgh Steelers fans. That tells you right there, you're starting at an intelligence deficit.
Exactly. Okay. Well, here's my thing. It's this be the same argument if I decided to compare TJ Watt to his brother.
Oh, yeah, right.
You could have put his brother on any team.
JJ Watt is enormously better than TJ Watt.
Yeah, you could put JJ Watt on any team, and he would have been elite. You can put Myles Garrett on any team and he'd be elite. Okay.
Right.
I don't know I could do that with TJ Watt. I don't know.
If the Browns.
How long has he been in the league?
It's 5 years.
5 years. Maybe he won't get there. I mean, I think maybe he could get there, but
get where?
Get where? Get to the point where he could be on any team.
No,
but he doesn't play the.
That's not his game.
The style of game that even would.
First of all, TJ Watt's a linebacker. Okay, yeah. He's not a lineman. Okay, right. And that's why most of his sacks are on design blitzes because linebackers don't always rush the quarterback. Okay,
right.
So it's not. It's one, you're looking at apples and oranges, but now TJ Watt is the beneficiary of a coach who understands who he is and calls plays
for him. Let me restate what we're trying to say here, because I think we're trying to say the same thing. I don't think you couldn't put TJ Watt on any team and he'd be good. You could. You can't put him on any team and he gets sacks the way he's getting.
Right. Right.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay. Yeah. I don't view TJ Watt as doing the same thing as like Lawrence Taylor was doing. Okay. But for what they need him to do, he's quick, gets to what he's supposed to with the way they use him, and he's going to get sacks.
Anyway, guys,
he's good at getting to a quarterback.
Back to the stats that matter. Okay. Total first downs, Browns 21, Cincinnati 6. Mm-hmm. Browns had 12 by passing, 9 running, 2 by passing, and 2 by, I'm sorry. The Browns had 12 by rushing, 9 by passing. The Bengals had 2 by pass, by rushing, 3 by passing, 1 by penalty. We got no first downs by penalty, by the way.
Oh.
Now, we held the Cincinnati Bengals to 2 for 15 for 13.3%. Yeah, but guys, don't let that get you too happy because our third down conversion rate sucked. 4 for 14.
Really?
4 for 14, only 28.6%.
What the? We got to do better.
Well, that's why I'm trying to tell you guys. We got to win. We got lucky, okay? We got lucky because the Bengals just couldn't deal with the defense and they couldn't deal with the weather. And the combination of both of those things is what got us that win. It wasn't because of the strength of our fucking offense, okay?
We need a soundbite of Coach Butch Davis saying, we got to do better.
Got to do better. Nah, I can say it real good. We got to do better. Anyway, so red zone efficiency. The Bengals were 0 for 0 for 0%. 0. The Browns were 2 for 3, 67% in the red zone. That's pretty good. Goal to goal efficiency. Yeah. The Bengals 0 for 0 for 0 for 0 for 0. And the Browns were 100% goal-to-goal efficiency. They get at the goal line. They can get in, buddy. And final score, 3-24. Time of possession did it, boys. 35 minutes and 50 seconds. The Browns dominated time of possession.
Man.
Like I said, there's plenty of good that Watson did do. The other thing we didn't talk about that I think... But we don't really, like I said, the same thing. Bad weather game. We don't know. Their receivers weren't very spectacular either, and they have two really good receivers. Okay?
Our field.
Our receivers did not
But T. Higgins got no catches, guys. None.
None. Wow. None.
Like I said, it's hard to do a wrap-up on how the offense actually looks because of the type of game. I mean,
imagine
we have one standout and it was the guy who usually is a standout.
That's and imagine true. we had a backup safety plan because Juan Thornhill was out.
Yeah.
So the guy we brought in to really spike up the safety room wasn't even playing. So we'll see. we'll see how that works out. Cause I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him on the field, but I want him there when he's healthy. And again, hats off to Grant Delpit. Okay. And that's, if Grant Delpit keeps playing like that, he will deliver on all the potential that everybody's seen. Am I right?
Right. And like you said, it tells us everything we wanted to know about Joe Woods at that point.
Well, yeah, the big thing in Cleveland. Are you happy Joe Woods is gone? Yes.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I mentioned it earlier before the podcast. Do you guys think we got a decent field goal kicker now?
Well, okay. It's one game. He kicked twice, right? Was it two or three?
Four times. I know he scored 9 points and a couple extra points. So every one okay. He made. Whatever.
And you know you weren't getting that out of Cade York, okay?
No.
I don't feel bad about it, but, you know, kickers are, it's like, what have you done for me lately? If you got a game-winning kick from the 48 on a good weather day and he fucking misses it, you're going to hate his ass that week. You know, that's right. Just the life of a kicker.
Yeah.
So far, I like him. So far, I like him.
Yeah.
The Browns are meeting regularly with Cleveland leaders to discuss the lakefront and the stadium.
Yeah, that's right. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but they need to listen. If they're saying to me, and this is what I've heard the Browns say, then we're not going to put a roof on a stadium if it's on the lakefront because the land won't support it. Okay.
The and land say, won't support it.
Literally, they say it can't support the weight. Okay. The marshland that it's built on, it will not support the weight of the additional weight of a roof. Okay.
Oh, shit.
And so then I'm saying, then build the fucking stadium somewhere else, guys. Okay. Shit. It's not.
Wow. I didn't even know that was part of the problem. Damn. Oh,
that's the big problem. That's why they're, and everybody wants the stadium to stay on the lakefront. Well, that's great. But I don't think, I think that if the Browns and Cleveland want to be a world-class NFL city and be able to draw a Super Bowl to town, they need a fucking roof.
Yeah. And do you think if they get a roof, they'll still be able to maintain grass and have it open sometimes and closed others?
Yeah, absolutely. And no, when I say a roof, I mean a retractable roof, and I want a natural field.
Yeah.
Damn right.
I do not want turf for the Browns at all.
I don't want turf anywhere in the league, but, you know, that's a bigger issue. I think players should be demanding natural grass.
Yeah. Is it more cost? It's obviously more cost to maintain grass and do that.
Not necessarily.
No.
Not necessarily. Not when you consider liability, because Philadelphia is still paying guys for the lawsuits because of that awful field they had at the vet for that long.
No shit.
Yeah. I mean, whether you pay it up front or whether you pay it on the back end, it costs you.
Yeah, that's true.
And to think that, come on, Joe Burrow walking into that game was 1-4 against the Browns in his fucking career, right?
Right.
And how in the world, who in the world took seriously the line that said the Bengals were walking into Cleveland as favorites? It didn't make sense.
No.
That was Vegas manipulating the line to beg people to please bet on Cincy because they wanted people to bet on Cincy because they knew that was their money.
Right.
So, you know, there's all kind of memes going around about the game afterwards, of course, right? Have you seen any?
No, not necessarily. I don't do memes.
So this I thought was especially funny, and hopefully I can find it really quickly here. Oh, here we go. Don't worry, Steeler fans. At least you didn't lose scoring 3 points with your new $275 million quarterback.
Well, there you go. That's okay. The Steelers, we're coming on Monday. We'll be there. We will be there.
Oh, so guess what I heard? And this is something, a good point, and I didn't know it. And I don't, you know, I'm sure it could change. You know, it's probably just a general thing. But Pittsburgh, Cleveland fans are treated way better in Pittsburgh Stadium and around the Pittsburgh area by Pittsburgh fans than Pittsburgh fans are treated in Cleveland at Cleveland Stadium or, you know, Browns football stadium and around Cleveland.
I don't know that. So,
and it's, I mean, I was like, I was surprised to hear that. And I don't
know that that's so. I think that's another, I think that's another goddamn Pittsburgh fan probably writing that shit. But we treat them better than they do us. Fucking stupid fucking Steelers fans. You know, I got a lot of respect for people, but not for Steelers fans.
Somebody
might have found a joke in there somewhere. I wasn't joking.
Oh, boy, God. You know, but this, I tell you, and this is the thing, and this goes maybe to Jeff's point. No matter. It's like this is the divisional game. You can throw the stats out the window. No matter how bad the Browns or the Steelers sucked when they played, it was like hell of a game. Usually. You know.
So well, we don't want hell that. Of a game. We don't, we don't want that.
We, we want them to suck.
Yeah, we don't want that. We want them to suck. That's right. I want to walk in there and beat the shit out of them and then go home. Like, man. No, I'm not looking for one of them old time rivalry games. No, I want to put you away quick, get you done in the first half, and just run the ball in the second half, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
So let's see. What were Hall of Fame offensive lineman Joe Thomas's impressions of DeJuan Jones? I've been really impressed, obviously, the performance that he put together in preseason and training camp, Thomas said. And then in his first game, when he stepped in for Jack Conklin, he was really impressive. When the NFL Network analyst and former NFL offensive lineman Brian Baldinger tweeted high praise for Jones' speed, excellent footwork, and brute strength, Thomas quote tweeted him with, "What awesome technique. Firm inside hand, great feet and balance, never leans on outside hand, but uses it to punch and steer. Bravo." Hey, I just think DeJuan, and here, my only question is, can DeJuan Jones, as he develops, see, clearly we're not looking for this from him this season, but could he be a left tackle and be good at it? Because if he could, oh, he could be a mainstay. He could be a HOFer.
Do we still have Jedrick Wills?
Yeah, and your point? Jedrick Wills is an adequate left tackle, but he is a pedestrianly adequate left tackle. He's getting called at least once a game for a false start. Okay, he's letting a guy through for a blindside fucking sack at least once a game. He is not top tier left tackle.
But his natural position is right tackle, right?
I don't know.
As far as I understood,
no, and couldn't. He played left tackle in college. I know that. And he's so played left tackle ever since he came here. What?
Could you take DeJuan Jones, even though it's a position change, and put him on the left
tackle? If DeJuan Jones eventually works himself into playing left tackle, it will involve Jedrick Wills leaving the team. Okay.
Okay. Boy, we wanted Jedrick to be good, man. I wanted
Jedrick's not bad, okay? I'm not saying Jedrick's bad, but he is not. Like, for instance, okay, and let's just tell you how good Myles Garrett is because of the hell he gave Orlando Brown Jr. Okay. Zeus Jr. is just as good as Zeus. Okay. And I'm just telling you that Jedrick Wills is not.
Okay.
But it also goes to show you how hard it is to get a good left tackle, because having said that, you didn't see the Browns running around trying to sign a left tackle somewhere because they ain't out there.
Yeah.
They got themselves a tackle, and if he's as flexible as he appears to be, he may end up on the left side of the ball.
Okay.
Unless you get a left-handed quarterback, and, you know, then, you know, your blind side changes, okay?
Did we ever figure out specifically who we got to take Conklin's place?
Yeah, I called his name out. He's a free agent. We signed him.
Okay.
tell you in a second. Hold
on. Boy, Conklin, that was did you see how that happened?
Yeah, I watched the game.
Damn, man, that dude fell right on him.
Well, it happens. Rolled
right on him.
It happened.
I mean, it wasn't on purpose.
No, it happens. The guy's name is Ty Nesicki.
Okay.
All we know is he's a veteran offensive tackle.
Okay.
Let's see. Signed to the active roster. I even think it tells me who he played with. Let me try to look him up on the internet. So, guys, thoughts on the Steelers?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Going into the game, but I really don't have any thoughts on the Steelers right now. I have their thoughts I have on them are about the same as the Browns. I could pick their stuff apart. They had a really bad game. They got a lot of bad stuff going on. That's great. But they're probably going to come and play us hard. It's a Monday night game, and the Browns need to be concentrated on.
I'm just
winning it despite anything.
That happened in Pittsburgh Stadium. Am I right?
Yeah. And by the way, typically teams going from the West Coast to the East Coast are sluggish, and they often lose those games. Okay. Everything was in the Pittsburgh Steelers' favor, and the 49ers just took it to their ass. And I listen. You got Christian McCaffrey, you got Deebo Samuel, you got Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback, who is anything but irrelevant, okay? They're a well-coached team, and I hate saying that because I don't like the coach, okay? I don't care what you say, I'm never going to like Kyle Shanahan after what he did to the fucking offense in Cleveland the year he was there, okay? And then what he did with the offense in the Super Bowl that the fucking Falcons had won. Okay. Goddamn idiot. Anyway.
Mm.
But they are touted as one of the best rosters, one of the best teams in the league. I just don't agree. Okay. They got some good players, but I'll tell you what, they got an opportunist coach. And I, you know, listen. Kyle Shanahan's nowhere near the fucking mad jerk that Mike McDaniels is. So Mike McDaniels, let me tell you what's dangerous about him. Not only does he have talent at positions and he's got a pretty decent defense, but he's got, you know, Tyreek Hill and then Tua to throw to him. But he'll go for it on 4th and 7 from his own 40.
Wow.
He'll make that call and they'll get the first down. Okay. He makes calls that fly in the face of conventional wisdom all the time, 5 times a game. And by the way, if you think about the Chargers head coach, he was that guy. Remember his first 2 years coaching? He was always going for it on 4th down, mm-hmm. right? Well, he's playing conservative against the Dolphins the other day, and he got his ass whooped for it. Okay? I'm just telling you, Mike McDaniels, that dude is a nut. Okay? I don't know if I could handle him being the head coach of my team, because that's got to drive you crazy. I mean, as long as it succeeds, it's fine. But, you know, when them plays don't succeed, he looks like a jerk. But, I mean, if I had Tua, I guess I'd be calling them plays, too. Because now that guy's got an arm.
Man.
Good God. Tua's got an arm.
Have you seen Tua with his shirt off? I mean, dude, he is so much bigger looking with his shirt off than what he looks like when he's in pads on the field. He looks so small. He's got some, man. I was like, no shit.
Listen, and they say his brother's just as good. He's coming out next year. Somebody's going to get him.
Wow. I just hope he can keep the concussions down.
Well, I mean, listen, he had it so bad that people were speculating he was going to retire. He came out and announced it, talked with my family. Nope, we're going to play.
Wow.
But I don't know what I would do if I were him. But anyway, come on. Thoughts on the Steelers, guys?
I think, I mean, I, like I said, you know, we talked before and, you know, we want it to be that they really suck. I just can't imagine that the Steelers suck that bad.
I can.
They did. I mean, I just like, you know, but, you know, they're playing this as a divisional game. You know, they got to be up. You know, they got to be salty about the loss.
Let me just say this. If you'd been talking to any Steelers fans over the last couple few weeks, based on the performance of the Steelers in the preseason, keep in mind, this is Kenny Pickett in the first team going up against most teams' third team. Okay. Right. They're playing their first string because Pickett needs the reps. Okay. And they, you know, they're playing guys' third team defense and they're just passing the ball all over the place. And it's looking like, oh my God. And you got Steelers fans everywhere. We're just going to kick ass. And the reality is, first things first, Pickett's not that damn good. Okay. That's the first thing.
I mean, he's not the guy. I mean, you can't anoint him the guy.
Pickett is all right. He's better than Zach Wilson.
He's a segue to something else.
He's better than Zach Wilson. Okay. But he's not Tua.
Right. No.
Okay. I'm sorry. Kenny Pickett. It's not the guy. Okay.
Anyway, I think we go in there.
We've lived under that for years in Cleveland. We got a quarterback. Yeah, he's a quarterback. Come on. DeShone Kizer. He was okay for a kid. You know, he tried real hard. He sucked. I think the Browns. Okay, he sucked.
Browns win decisively, but we don't give him an ass whooping, but we win decisively.
We need to win. I don't care if we win decisively by the hair of our fucking chinny chin chin, cheating. I don't fucking care. The Browns need to win that game.
You ain't trying if you ain't cheating.
That's right. I'm just telling you, the Browns need to be 2-0 at the end of next week.
Right.
And that what makes that even better is that's 2-0 in the division.
Yeah.
And then they need to go ahead and beat Tennessee because that's a home game. And then they need to win their next home game, which will be the Ravens. And after the first 4 weeks, the Browns should be, based on just the defense alone, the Browns should have pitched a shutout, be 4-0 and be 3-0 in the division, firmly in first fucking place, going into an early bye.
And then we get the Ravens after the bye, right?
No, the Ravens are before the bye.
Oh, they're before the bye. Yeah. Oh, I thought we had 5 games before the bye.
No, week 5 is our bye.
Okay, my bad.
We have Bengals, Steelers, Titans, Ravens, bye.
Then we got 49ers, is that it?
Not before the bye.
No, after.
You got to look at the schedule, okay?
Okay.
I don't have that shit memorized, but yeah. Yeah, it's on October 15th, the 49ers. 49ers, Colts, Seahawks. Dude, 49ers, Colts, Seahawks. We're going to beat the 49ers. We're going to beat the 49ers because the 49ers, Brock Purdy, man. Come on. We're going to beat them.
Listen, man. This is all just being a fan, okay? But, and I know we can't tell the bad weather, all that, but I tell you what, it's hard not to get a little bit of a sparkle starting in your eye And if we stay healthy and are good as we think we could be, this could be really fucking.
I'm telling you, coming out of the bye, we got the 49ers at home. That's going to be the toughest game because then you got Colts, Seahawks, Cardinals. Right. And if the Seahawks are going to struggle the way they did last Sunday, and they're just not going to be as good as they were last year. And so that's three wins right there with, I got a question mark hovering over the 49ers game, but I like us because we're at home and they are a West Coast team traveling east. And that should have been an advantage for the Steelers, which it clearly wasn't.
You know who's starting quarterback for Arizona, right?
Who's that?
Joshua Dobbs.
Who cares?
I'm just saying. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Well, they're going to get their ass kicked because Joshua Dobbs is great, but he's not starting quarterback material. And okay, you do know what the Arizona Cardinals are doing. I mean, just count that win.
Right.
Because they're collapsing for Caleb Williams. They're collapsing for Caleb.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're doing. They're going to tell you, they're going to get all offended and say, no, we're not. Yes, you are.
Okay, sure. Whatever. Whatever you say. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They're collapsing for Caleb. That's what it is. You can remember when it was used to be the Colts were going to, they suck for luck, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They're collapsing for Caleb. Okay. That's what's happening, dude. They want the USC quarterback at the number one pick, and they mean to get it. Okay, but all I'm saying is you got coming out of the bye. Let's say you can do this. You can complete the four games. You're 4-0, and you got a bye. Coming out of the bye, you got Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback and the 49ers coming. You're playing them at home. You should be able to win that game. You got a rookie quarterback and you're going to Indianapolis, but you're playing with a team that's breaking in a rookie quarterback. You got Geno Smith, who looks more like the Geno Smith of old than the Geno Smith of last year. You should be able to win that. Then you got the Cardinals. That's a win. You could be 8-0 before you got to play the Ravens a second time.
Yeah, that can easily happen.
And then you got the Ravens, you know, you got to go to Baltimore and play them. But then after that, you got the Steelers at home. And then it's Broncos, Rams, Jags, Bears, Texans, Jets, Bengals.
So, guys, when you're watching the game and you know, all through it, had a slow start. And you get to the end and you're like, oh, my God. Weren't you just a little bit encouraged, even though we know technically and intellectually what we said during the podcast, as a fan, just as a fan?
We won our opening game, which is what I expect to do every year. I'm disappointed most years, so I wasn't displeased, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't got us going to the Super Bowl just yet. Okay.
Oh, hell.
If that's what you're saying. So, I'm not happy until I feel that way. Okay. I'm not going to be happy until I feel that way. Just competing is not going to be okay for a team that has paid $230 million guaranteed dollars to a quarterback. Not based on the way Baker Mayfield just performed for the fucking Bucks. No, Deshaun Watson has to step up and be something special.
Right.
Because what Baker Mayfield did in Minnesota, by the way, on this past Sunday was very special. He won that game for them.
Right.
We did not win because of Deshaun Watson. That's all I want to say. We didn't lose because of him, so that's great. He didn't stop us from winning, but we did not win because of him. We won because of that defense.
I thought he handed the ball off expertly.
Okay, that's great. And by the way, you need him to be able to do that, but I'm just saying that the guy we got rid of, the guy we eschewed, that team that he's on right now, the Buccaneers, it's only 1 week, guys, so we can't make any assumptions either way. But they won because of him. They went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, who was an MVP candidate, a legitimate MVP candidate last year, they went and they beat him in their own, on their own turf. That happened. So right now, I haven't seen any play from Deshaun Watson this year or last that has justified the fact that we didn't just keep Baker Mayfield and keep going.
Right.
So, you know, and listen, I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy saying I want Baker Mayfield back. I never wanted him in the first fucking place. Okay.
No doubt.
If we'd have drafted who I want, we would have that fucking dude from the Pittsburgh Steelers now. But we could have had Josh Allen.
I think we'd have fucked Josh Allen up, though.
Okay, then we're going to listen. Then if we would have done that, we're going to fuck Deshaun Watson up. No. You don't understand, dude. Not
the regime.
What?
I said we don't have the same regime now.
The hell we don't.
Dude, we had fucking Dorsey when we got Baker Mayfield.
Okay, and who was on Dorsey's staff? Who was in the fucking room the day that Baker Mayfield was picked and was down with the decision? The guy that's your general manager right now. You got the same owner that did that shit. Now, we wouldn't have destroyed John. We didn't destroy Baker Mayfield. Okay?
Yeah, he did that to himself.
Baker Mayfield wasn't destroyed. Baker Mayfield proved to you on Sunday he is still a relevant quarterback in this league. The fucking Bucs went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings in the dome on the arm of Baker Mayfield.
Wow. Yeah, man, I think, you know, this is his chance to prove that he can develop into something really good. And boy, I hope that's my problem.
I got people telling me that Baker Mayfield can develop into something good. He's already developed. He is something good. He wasn't a bad quarterback when he left us. The guy was fucking injured.
Right.
Okay. There's no reason we should have gotten rid of him. The Browns wanted something better. The Browns said to themselves, we want an alpha dog at quarterback.
Remember how pissed we were when we heard that he drafted him?
I stopped doing the podcast for 3 years.
I know, right? It was like, what the f- are they doing?
I said, if they draft Baker Mayfield, I'm not going to do this shit no more.
And you didn't. And we didn't.
Damn right. Because I'm a man of my fucking word. I was like, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to put myself emotionally into that because it was a bad idea. Nobody with a brain looks at Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen next to each other statistically as potential draftees and drafts Baker Mayfield.
We didn't do the 2020 season, did we?
Yeah, the year they went to the playoffs.
We did that season? We did.
Yes.
Okay. So we just put the 2019 season. Okay.
Baker Mayfield was drafted in what year?
I thought it was 2018. Baker. I mean, I could be wrong. I thought it was.
2018. So we didn't do 2018. We didn't do 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. We did like two and a half years, you know. Because you count, you know,
games in 2021 weren't that bad of games for him, and then he thought he had to tackle somebody.
Well, but that's why you don't draft a guy that's not built to do the job. Okay, that's why you don't see a lot of 5'10", 6-foot quarterbacks because
right.
Most guys that are drafting to fill the NFL roster out know that that guy is not physically stout enough to play the position of quarterback given the size of linemen and everything these days. Because he's got to do two things. One, he's got to get tackled by these big-ass defensive linemen. Two, he's got to see around these big fucking offensive linemen to see his goddamn receivers. And unfortunately, Baker Mayfield's never going to grow taller, so you're always going to have to roll him out so he can see the field.
You mean he's not still growing?
No. So you're always going to have to roll him out. So guess what? I mean, that's just a that's just another advantage to the opposing team's defense. You guys remember when we had Jeff Garcia? Everybody knew he was going to roll right because he couldn't roll left. He sucked rolling left. And so they all knew where Jeff Garcia was going to be. And by the time we got him, he was a step slower than he used to be, so he couldn't get away no more. That's why Jeff Garcia sucked when we had him.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. I remember that year.
What? that year is when you heard Butch Davis saying, we got to do better. We got to do better.
Oh, man. Dude, we've been, Browns fans been through, you know, and I think we're so ready to be excited. And that's why we were kind of,
well, that's that's why I refuse to get excited just yet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go sing the praises of Deshaun Watson when Deshaun Watson doesn't deserve praises. I'm not going to put this team into playoffs before they've shown me that they can get there.
Yeah. How many games is it going to take us to start to think that, hey, wait a minute.
If the Browns go 8-0 in their first eight games, you'll probably have an idea they're going somewhere.
What about 6-2?
I don't know. It depends on the two losses and how what the character of those losses were here.
Okay.
Because 6-2, if you lose the next four, is 6-6. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
8-0 and you lose four games, you're still 8-4.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, man, I'm pleasantly I was pleased when I left that bar watching that game. I just hope they could do the same thing in Pittsburgh. Show me twice.
No, I don't need them to listen. If they do what they did at home against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, we're going to fucking lose. I need something better than what I saw. Okay. I really.
Oh, do. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
I can't have a 67 rating from my quarterback and expect to win.
Right. Yeah.
And Kevin Stefanski shouldn't have. And I don't expect him to come out and be critical of a 67 rating on his quarterback on a bad weather day. But internally, they got to be talking to Deshaun, and Deshaun has to know that that kind of a performance is unacceptable.
Yeah. So basically, our wideouts are Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, and DPJ. And is there anybody? What's the fourth? Is that there's a fourth guy? I can't remember his name.
The guy that we picked up, the guy that we drafted.
Can't remember his name. Damn it.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a sec.
Damn, I can't remember his name. Why can't I remember his name?
No, I'll tell you. Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin is not who we... Cedric Tillman. Donovan Peoples-Jones. Why in hell...
Cedric Tillman, tight end, isn't he?
What?
No. Cedric Tillman's not a... He's a tight end.
Wide receiver.
Oh, no shit. He's a tall guy.
Yeah, we got him from we got him in the draft.
Okay. I'll tell you what, he catches balls. He don't drop balls.
Yeah, he played for Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, man. I can't wait till Monday night. You gonna be able to watch the game?
Why wouldn't I be able to?
Okay, I just, you know.
It comes on national TV, ABC, on Monday night.
No, I'm just saying, I know you have to work early and all that.
That's in the morning. Yeah. That's in be able to watch the game. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Yes, I'll be able to watch. Yeah. So Jeff, thoughts on the Steelers? What do you predict?
I think Jeff had to leave. He texted.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, Jeff had to. He had an emergency, I think.
Oh, okay.
He texted at 8:35.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
So I'm sure he would have had.
Okay.
Jeff probably would have said, we're going to the Super Bowl. So here, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't agree. Not yet. I want to agree, and I will in time. In time, I'm hopeful that in time I will. But they got these Browns got a lot to do. They got to step into this. I want them to believe in who they are and be what they are. But I'm a Browns fan, and I've been through it. And you got to show me, man.
Did you see Kevin's post game locker room speech?
Don't care.
He said, folks, we got lots of work to do still. This is great. It's a win, but remember, keep it in your mind. We got work to do. Yeah, I was like,
okay,
oh, damn,
that's Kevin, whatever. Okay. Whatever. I don't give a shit. Okay. Kevin Stefanski has fucked up enough in the last 2 years as head coach of this fucking team. I give a shit what he has to say. Come out and coach a game for me. He did admirably. For his first game of the 2023 season. Keep that going. I don't care. You say whatever you need to the guys. Okay. That's your business. I'm not with you. I'm not against you on that, but I'm not wasting a bunch of fucking time. Okay. Listening to what Kevin had to say and acting like it's going to make a fucking difference. Okay. What Kevin Stefanski has to say that's going to make a difference is what he says into the fucking microphone to the guy upstairs that's putting the play in. Okay. And that's all, you know, all Kevin Stefanski has to do is either let somebody else call the plays or call them right. Okay. Cause we don't need none of these games. I'll tell you what, I don't ever want to hear Kevin Stefanski say, again, this one's on me.
Yeah, I don't ever, dude. We talk about that in the cigar lounges when I don't want to hear
this one's on me. And if I don't have to hear that this year, then Kevin Stefanski will have gone a long way to healing, to mending fences with me. Because right now, he's not my favorite guy. Okay,
it's on me. It's on me, man.
This one's on me. No, it's not.
Isn't it crazy how the various coaches we had their little pet phrases that they say so much. It's like, we've heard this before.
All right, man. Well, we're going to get out of here. Let me bring this music in and walk our ass on out of here. You've been listening to TBF, a Browns fans podcast, celebrating a win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Can we do it again? Will we do it against the Steelers? You betcha. Yes, we can. So, in the meantime, in the in-between time, and until it's that time, and what time's that? Time to talk to you about the Browns' dominating win over the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. This is Paul, Q, and Jeff for TBF, a Browns fan podcast, saying we're out.
Basement Tapes Productions.